Hi, everyone, and welcome to the PNC studio at Halas Hall. It's another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. We are one day closer to the home finale. Bears against Washington, Zach Zaidman, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, and pleased to be joined for the first time on the show by one of the big-time players on the 2016 Bears, rookie running back Jordan Howard. And before we get to a potential Pro Bowl and what you've done this season, I wanted to start by asking you about one of the other guys in the running backs room, because I saw something in that Packers game. I don't think I've ever seen this before. Tom, I don't know if you have either, but you're in that room, and I'm sure you've seen the video 100 times. Have you ever had a decal knocked off your helmet by a hit?
No, I never had a decal knocked off. That was very crazy to see. It just came clean off.
Well, you know what? I saw the other night in the Monday night game, a running back got tackled and his face mask got knocked off. I don't know if you saw that, and that's the first time I've ever seen that in a game.
It just fell off?
No, it was kind of like an impact, and it shattered the – there's four things that hold your face mask to your helmet, and they all blew up at the same time, and his face mask came off. And it was just something I've never seen. So, I mean, hey, football is a game of firsts, and you see them all the time.
And for people that don't know what we're talking about, Kadeem Carey, the Bears running back, was hit by a Packer. And it was crystal clear, maybe because they have the HD video now, I'm not sure why, but all of a sudden, bam, one of the wishbone C's just flew off his helmet.
You know what it is? It's the freezing temperatures freezes the adhesive, and then they are susceptible to coming off.
All right, Tom's played in it. You played in it for the first time. What's it like in those conditions when someone's trying to hit you, and you know that it's going to hurt them if they're going to try?
It's pretty good because when it gets cold weather, a lot of people, they already don't like talking to me, but when it gets colder, they definitely don't want to hit me because it just hurts just with the coldness and things like that, and you're so stiff.
You know, Jordan, Zach introduced you as one of the big-time players on the Chicago Bears. I was reading about you. They said you're a two-star athlete out of high school. You went to a college because you weren't highly recruited. Then you made your way to Indiana. Do you feel like satisfied that you get introduced as a big time part of the Chicago Bears because of it's been hard for you to climb that ladder, whether it's from high school to college now into the NFL?
I mean, it feels good, but I'm never satisfied with where I'm at. But it definitely feels good because I always felt like I was a big time player no matter where I was.
Right. Well, you know, that definition of a two-star athlete out of high school, what was it, do you think, that you didn't get the recognition of being the player that we've seen you be, whether at finishing a run into the goal line against Clinton Dix or just, you know, having the challenge of switching colleges and, you know, and not skipping a beat?
I think it might have been after my junior year of high school. I didn't go to any camps leading up to my senior year because I had like a small injury. So I feel like they kind of set me back because a lot of colleges didn't get to see me in person at their camps and things like that.
So where you come from in Alabama, what camp would you have gone to? Was it an Auburn camp? Was it an Alabama camp? Or what associated school would you have gone to a camp for?
I probably wouldn't have went to Alabama Auburn camp. I probably would have went to Mississippi State or some other schools on that level.
All right.
Man, Pernell McPhee would have been happy if you went to Mississippi State. I mean, he always wears the Mississippi State gear. I think Nick Saban made a mistake. I'll say it. I mean, I know that they've won championships and Alabama's Alabama, but just watching what you've been able to do at this level, and I remember last year, the game that you had against the Michigan Wolverines, Tom was in the car.
Yes.
He was listening to the game. You brought it as soon as the Bears were mentioned with Jordan Howard. You said it.
Right. I was driving from Cleveland to Chicago, and I had listened to that entire game on Sirius Radio. And I remember they were saying, no, Jordan Howard has a carry for 11 yards. Jordan Howard has another carry. I was so impressed with your durability in the course of the game. 30-plus carries, what, 260 yards or something like that against a good defense like Michigan. Well, that's something you thrive on, isn't it? Is the more carries you get, the more carries you want.
Yeah, definitely. Once I get into a rhythm, the more carries I get, I just feel even more better. Like late in the game, when you know the defense is having a hard time stopping what the offense is doing, it makes you feel a lot better, gives you a lot more confidence.
When you talk about the word rhythm and being a running back, how long did it take you to fall into that rhythm with at this level with the Chicago Bears, understanding how things are going to unfold in front of you with the responsibilities of the offensive line? Is it a game? Is it carries? Is it weeks? What is it for you?
It kind of took me a while, like during preseason and things like that. But then I think it started to click for me, like the last preseason game against Cleveland when I got a lot of opportunities. But just the more opportunities you get and the more you get out there, the more comfortable you get.
I think you put the running backs room on high alert after that Cleveland game, because I think there was a lot of Chicago Bears fans that were excited to see you get that opportunity. And you talk about making the most of it. And I'm one of those guys, my rookie year, I didn't get an opportunity to play until the last preseason game. But I think that's why I made the team. And I do think that's why you kind of elevated yourself, is because of the results you had in that game.
Yeah, he knew he had the chance, right? Because you hadn't gotten the consistent carries in the preseason until that game against the Browns.
Yeah, definitely. I was getting into the games like pretty late, like in third or fourth quarter, in the earlier preseason game. So I knew that game I would have a lot of opportunities, so I was a lot more comfortable.
Now, you played with number 34.
Right.
And I don't want to ever compare anyone to Walter Payton. But during that game against the Browns, it's an exhibition game, so you're thinking, like, what's the big deal? I had a Bears staffer tell me on the sideline, you watch, 2-4 is going to be the next 3-4.
That's a high compliment. Do you know anything about Walter Payton, or are you too young?
Yeah, I know a lot. When I was younger, I actually had a Walter Payton book. It was navy blue, and it had orange letters for the numbers.
Right. Have you ever watched any of the highlight reels of Walter? And, you know, I think in Walter's career, if you look at the amount of yards he gained, I think over 2,000 of his yards that he gained in his career are because he didn't run the ball out of bounds. There is a college coach he had that always says, it's okay for a running back to hit the defensive players. Don't always be the guys being hit. Have you ever gotten advice from a running back's coach throughout your life, or even just someone that you respect in your life that, you know, kind of gives you like a little hint or clue about finishing a run or what a running back mentality is?
Yeah, I have a lot of coaches just telling me to finish runs and just try to deliver the hits on the defense, because sometimes they just don't want it. And sometimes you might be able to get even more yards. And then had a coach at UAB my sophomore year. He told us if we ran out of bounds, just to keep running and go to the locker room.
Tom loves that, because as an offensive lineman, that's what you want your running back to do. You just keep going. Don't go out of bounds. That's the thing about Walter Payton that made him so special. I mean, there were so many things, but his legs never stopped moving. And that's the trait that you see in Jordan Howard.
Of course. I mean, you look at the reason why you have the highest after initial contact amount of yards gained, that's why. It's because the desire to stay on your feet and not go down in first contact.
All right, so the names Ezekiel Elliott and David Johnson are the ones that were picked for the Pro Bowl. But you look at the numbers next to the guy that we're sitting next to, and he's right there. We'll discuss next Jordan Howard and his terrific rookie season and how he got to this point. That's coming up on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tune into the Bears Coaches Radio Show Monday night at 6:30 p.m. on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. This is one of those shows, Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber from the PNC studio at Halas Hall, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. All right, so our guest for the entire hour, and it's pretty cool to be joined by Jordan Howard, the Bears running back, because this guy has put numbers. When you look at Ezekiel Elliott, you see the numbers that Elliott has put up. Jordan Howard's numbers are right there with him. When you look at the numbers that David Johnson has put up, you know, in terms of production for the Bears, Jordan Howard has put up those numbers. You were a fifth-round pick, though. How much did that bother you?
It really bothered me a lot. Like, the last day of the draft, I actually didn't even watch the draft because I was pretty upset. So,
where'd you go?
I was at home. I had a TV. I was just listening to music and things like that.
Did you ever have any indicators that you were going to be picked a lot higher? Or was there any team that was really high on you, or somebody you knew from your past that was saying, look, Jordan, stick by the phone because we're picking you at this point?
I didn't hear really things like that, but my agent, he was giving me advice and was telling me that I was projected to go from like second to fourth round and things like that, but things just didn't work out that way.
Now, are you one of these guys, and when they interviewed Tom Brady a few years ago, they had this big documentary, you know, he was picked in the sixth round, and he could tick off all the quarterbacks that were taken in the draft. Are you like that?
Somewhat.
Now, is that what bothered you more than anything else? Forget about what your agent said. Just knowing the way you were as a player at the college level And I know that when you were in college, you're watching the other guys because that's human nature. And you see some of these guys getting picked above you. Was that what ticked you off?
Definitely ticked me off, especially some of the guys that I like outproducing things like that and that I had more success than, and they were kind of going off potential of them. So that kind of pissed me off.
What were the knocks on you, the negative things that you heard about you? And what's the reality compared to what you were hearing?
One of the knocks was durability, but I didn't really feel like that was fair because last year was my first time ever missing games, so I felt like that was an unfair knock.
And it was a football injury, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't, you know, and Tom can explain this. There's the soft tissue stuff, but that's not what happened to you. I mean, you had a legit football injury. How did it happen?
My first injury was my ankle. I had Joey Bosa, he tackled my quarterback, and my quarterback fell on it. Then I had a knee injury almost like the whole year, and then I played. And then after the Michigan game, I was feeling fine. Then I woke up the next morning, and my knee was just aching.
You know, a couple questions is, number one, I got drafted in the fourth round, and to this day I'm still bitter about it. So you'll never lose that bitterness to where you got drafted. Did you go to the combine, and when you saw some of the other guys that you were going up against, did you say, wow, I'm better than this guy, or my numbers are better than this guy, even though they were being drafted ahead of you? Or were you kind of only paying attention to yourself?
I was pretty much only paying attention to myself, but I really feel like things like the combine, they don't really give an accurate description of a player because it just drills and things like that. But I feel like I do better in games when you have to think quick and react faster.
You know what's amazing about you is my appreciation for your ability. Running backs can be great running backs because they have the innate ability to see how things go. It's your ability to block. I do believe that from any rookie running back, that's the most impressive part of your game. Now, is it something that you did well in college and you're just becoming more comfortable with because the talent's better at the NFL level and you're getting better? Or is it part of your game that you really had to work on since the beginning of OTAs that led to full pads that went through training camp?
I'm in college. I definitely had to work on it a lot, but it's definitely becoming easier for me because the more I'm doing it, because in college I wasn't asked to do it as much, but now in the NFL I'm definitely asked to do it a lot, and so I'm becoming more comfortable with it.
So when you they call play in the huddle and you know your responsibility is blitz pickup or pass protection, I think that's one of the respect things for you is not only the Dow Loggins and your position coaches and the offensive coaches developing that respect in you, but you've been so good at it that that's a really important part of your game to develop.
Yeah, I definitely know if I wanted to get on the field at all, I had to be able to protect the quarterback, and my coach had to believe that I knew what I was doing, so he definitely had to trust me to put me out there.
I think early in the season I saw you on special teams a couple times. Were you on punt team?
I was on the punt team. I was on the punt return team.
Okay,
in the Eagles game.
Have you in your college career? Were you ever on special teams?
I was never on special teams in college, so that was definitely new for me.
High school? Did you ever return kickoffs or punts?
I returned kickoffs, but they always used to kick the ball away from me.
Right. I found that strange early in the season how you are on special teams, and I do pay attention to these guys because I know that guys that are the number one running back or the number one player on their team, they're probably out of special teams by their freshman year in college and, you know, maybe not even play in high school. But I did appreciate the fact that you had your opportunities because I think that builds character mm-hmm. in you because you know what guys like Josh Bellamy and Sherrick McManus, these guys that have built a living off of their opportunity to play on special teams. But I think that helps you out also.
Yeah, it definitely helps you out. Just showing that you have value at other spots than just running back because you might not get as many opportunities at running back, so you definitely have to be valuable at some other position on the team.
Visiting with Jordan Howard, the Bears rookie running back here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. I want to get back to a point that you made because I think it's a really good one about how the combine doesn't test the true nature of what it's like to be a running back during a game. So if you had the opportunity to give your input to these evaluators, what's the best drill that you could put together that would show them this is what a running back has to do in a game. Look at this, and I guarantee you you'll be able to find better running backs.
I feel like one of the best things they could do is like give a running back a play or something like that, and then as they're going to the hole, make them make them have a bag that moves in a certain direction. They have to react off of that.
Right. I agree with that, and that is a good non-pad description. But to me, if you want to see if a running back is good, go and watch 9-on-7 in practice and go and watch their game tape. That's when the true story is going to be told, because you're going to tell a lot about a player's desire when it comes impact time. What does he do? Does he shy away from it, or does he attack the tackler?
Now, do you have to do it naturally in the sense that, and everyone has talked about this, the patience that you have to allow a hole to open up, the misdirection play where you kind of get everybody sucked in one way and then you go the other way, is that something that you just naturally had from the time that you started playing football, or is it something that you had to develop, and who helped you get to that point?
It's kind of something I developed because, like, when I first started playing football, I was a lot faster than everybody, so I always tried to bounce the run outside and try to outrun everybody. But as I become older, I just became smarter with the game and learned I can't outrun everybody, and just that if I'm patient, I can set my blockers up and help them get the blocks right, so I have a bigger hole to go through.
So you're a point of attack running back. I mean, that's what you are, is wherever the play is designed to go, you get to that spot, get an impact into the defense, and then make yards after that.
Like, he's just shaking his head because he's like, let's bring it on. How about this, Tom? Could you imagine if in your college career, you went to Notre Dame, can you imagine if all of a sudden Notre Dame said, hey, we're done with football? That's what happened to Jordan Howard. Right. We'll discuss next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Don't miss your chance to win Bears prizes every day until December 24th. Follow us on Twitter at @ShyBearsPromos to learn more. Zach Zaidman alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. It's Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber from the PNC studio at Hallis Hall, joined by Bears running back Jordan Howard. Initially, he started his college career near home at UAB. And then all of a sudden, and it was a big story nationally at the time that it happened, they just got rid of football. What was that meeting like when you found out that my football team is going to disappear?
To me, it was actually crazy because we had been hearing, like, rumors all year that they might shut the program down, but we didn't actually really think they were going to go through with it. But then when they first called it me, we kind of had a feeling that's what was going to happen. But to just actually hear it was just heartbreaking.
You know, when you went to UAB and you could have family and friends support, they were close to you, and then you went all the way up to Indiana. Was that a hard transition because you were kind of by yourself up at way up north in Indiana, outside of, you know, the confines of some, you know, friendly family and support group?
I don't really think it was a hard transition because I actually wanted to get away from home and just grow up, have a chance to grow up on my own. And then I actually had two teammates from UAB come up there with me. And I had my uncle, he lives in Fort Wayne. Well, both of my uncles live in Fort Wayne. So I definitely had family near.
So that's why you went to Indiana, because of the family?
That wasn't the reason I went to Indiana. Indiana was one of the schools I visited, and I also visited Notre Dame. But Indiana, they had Tevin Coleman the year before me. He ran for 2,000 yards, and most of the offensive line was coming back. So I felt like that was a pretty good fit.
Yeah, but look at that offensive line at Notre Dame.
But Indiana did. Indiana really has a solid – they had a solid program before you got there, and then I think you continue that process with them. And, you know, two schools so close to each other, it wouldn't have been – you know, but there would have been a lot of similarities to it.
I just think it would have been awesome to watch you. I mean, think about the show we could have had here, you guys waxing poetic about, you know, touchdown Jesus and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it worked out for you.
But he probably in Indiana was probably a better offense suited for you than the offense at that time at Notre Dame. And, you know, you probably developed more running back skills that got you prepared for the NFL than you would have at Notre Dame.
I feel like either or would have worked. But at Notre Dame, if I would have went there, I would have lost all my credits and They weren't gonna be sure if I was gonna be eligible because I didn't have all my credits.
All right.
So he goes to Indiana, lights it up, but lights up the Big Ten. Ends up coming to the Bears because a lot of teams passed up on him. This is quite the rookie class that the Bears have here in 2016. It starts with Leonard Floyd. By the way, have you ever had to drive Leonard Floyd downtown? You know, we were reading over the weekend that he doesn't like the traffic. He's like, Tom, gets scared of the traffic, doesn't like that.
I just don't like it. I'm not scared of it. Why do you always throw me under the bus?
Because I know on the radio you're not going to ball up your fist and punch me, I think. I mean, I could be wrong.
We got a commercial coming.
That's true. But here's the thing that I was reading about Leonard, because he comes from a very small town. He doesn't come from Atlanta. He comes from a town about 100 miles from Atlanta, small town. So his dad moved up here to help him out and adjust? Because Chicago, I mean, it was a big lifestyle adjustment. Was it hard for you to come up here and adjust to the different things in regards to Chicago? Or did it help that you were in Indiana? There are a lot of Indiana alums here and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, it wasn't really hard to adjust because I don't really spend much time downtown dealing with all the traffic. So this wasn't really hard to adjust. And I've been to Atlanta a few times, and then I was in down in Florida training, so it was pretty a lot of traffic down there.
Have you had any time to spend in the city, or will that come during the off season as years go on, or are you just familiar kind of with the path from your house to the Bears facility and back and just kind of concentrating on work?
Yeah, I haven't had much time to go downtown, but I definitely go downtown when the off season comes, so when I have more free time.
Now, I'm sure you go out and about occasionally to get food outside of the house. Do people stop you? And is it cool when you get recognized?
People don't really stop me because I don't really go to too many places often, but I went to the Cheesecake Factory Sunday after the game, and two little kids came up to me asking for a picture.
Have you seen your jersey yet for sale?
I have not seen it yet.
That's a heck of an accomplishment when you you get your first NFL football card. You have jerseys that are being sold with your name on the back. It's kind of got to be a neat thing because it's the same thing that we grew up, mm-hmm. You know, whether we went and bought someone else's jersey or looked at football cards when we were little kids. And, is that kind of a neat thing that you're looking forward to being, not asking you to, be a personality, but at least being what you accomplished, for sale?
Yeah, it's definitely neat saying things like that because growing up as a kid, that's all you ever dreamed about, having your favorite player jersey. So it's definitely surreal to me.
Did you ever have one of anybody?
I had a LaDainian Tomlinson jersey. Had a Cadillac Williams jersey.
Really?
Yeah.
Bringing Cadillac out of the woods.
Well, he's an Alabama guy. He went to Auburn. Yeah. So
he's like the fifth pick in the draft or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the year they had Ronnie Brown. Yeah,
I had a Ronnie Brown jersey too.
Yeah, Jason Campbell, their quarterback, was a Bear briefly.
Yes.
And he was a star at Auburn, had an easy job with those two guys in the backfield. So let's get back to this rookie. So you got Leonard Floyd. Cody Whitehair has been a terrific contributor. Obviously, you have as well. Who's kind of the leader of that of the rookie group? Because you guys seem like a tight group when I walk in there into the locker room.
I wouldn't really say we have one specific leader. I would say we all have we're all leaders in our own right because – we always give input, and we're just very close because when we first got here, we were in the rookie locker room downstairs, so it was just us. So
Tom, explain that.
Well,
to
that's
people.
The rookie locker room is before you make it as on the regular roster, you dress in the basement in a small locker room that's only rookies. Was that the first day you went up to the veteran locker room? Was it intimidating, or did you know you earned your opportunity up there, or were you having more fun downstairs with your crew of rookies that were That was just a neat group of guys to hang out with.
I wasn't intimidated by going up to the veteran locker room, but we were definitely having more fun down in the rookie locker room because we had been down there so long.
Who do you locker next to upstairs?
Upstairs, I locker next to Jeremy Langford and David Cobb.
Are you guys into football conversation when you have the downtime, or do you try to get your mind and maybe in a different subject, or are you guys, because everything is so new to you in a week-to-week basis, now going from preparing for Green Bay, now you're preparing for the Washington Redskins, because things are new to you, is it more football conversation when you have your downtime?
We talk about football. We also talk about basketball. We talk about college football and things like that. We just talk about things outside of football.
Do you joke around? Because every time I see you, you're ultra serious.
Yeah, we definitely joke around a lot.
So you do. See, smiling now. See, we haven't seen that. I understand where it comes from. I mean, you play with a chip, and when you practice with a chip on your shoulder. Because I think that's the byproduct of everyone constantly telling you, you can't do this, this guy's better than you, you're held back, that you're not durable enough, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's quite the fuel that you've got to succeed.
Yeah, it's definitely quite the feel, and it's just my personality pretty much most of the time. Most of the time you see me, I just have a stale face or be stoic, but I definitely joke around and smile a lot.
You're a young guy just removed from college. You played Duke last year in a bowl game. All right, what do you think about these guys, these running backs that are not going to go to their bowl games because they want to prepare for the draft?
I think with their how high their stock is, I don't really feel like it'll affect them, so I definitely feel like they're trying to protect themselves because of what happened to Jalen Smith last year.
But what were your stats in the bowl game? Do you remember?
I might have played in the bowl game.
Oh, you didn't play in the bowl? Okay.
He was protecting himself. No, right. No, that's no.
But it is, I mean, it's something that it's going to be, you know, a lot of other guys coming up are going to be thinking about it now. And I was just thinking, you know, the more games Jordan Howard can play, the more he's going to elevate himself to the scouts and opportunities to be seen.
Yeah, I feel like somebody with not as much hype as those two running backs, they definitely need to play in the games because it could definitely hurt them if they don't play. But if they do play, they can definitely improve their stock.
Now, Jalen Smith, who many say would have been a top five pick out of Notre Dame, he says that and he just tore his knee up in that game with the nerves and everything with the bowl game against Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl. But he said he would do it all over again.
But so would I. I mean, my body's sore from the career you have playing professional football. But, Jordan, you would play professional football again if you made the decision back when you were 11 or 12. I mean,
What about all the money that you could – if you knew that you could be a first-round pick?
You can't ever think about that because you don't know what's going to happen. It's about I'm 55 years old. If I knew how my body was going to feel at 55 years old, would I still play football starting at 15? Yes, I would. And I don't care about what I feel like at 55 because the experience that it gave me in between then and now, I've loved the life it's given me.
But if you knew you could make the money, I'm just throwing it out there. If you knew you could make the money, and it's a lot of guaranteed money if you're picked in the first round. And if you knew and obviously sometimes they're wrong what they tell you because you thought you were going to go higher, would you play?
Yeah, I definitely play because anytime you play football, you're taking a chance. So you can't be worried about things like that. And I always try to play any game that I can play in if I'm healthy enough. So I would definitely try to play.
Those two guys are sitting out. I'm not going to pick them in the first round because I don't like their lack of commitment to their teammates. And the reason they're sitting out is because they were already injured throughout their senior season. One was profiled as a Heisman candidate, and the other one's been profiled as a Heisman candidate since his freshman year. But now he's had injury-plagued seasons, and that's a reflection to their desire to me.
I know we got to take the break, but man, it must rile you up then when you're watching SportsCenter and all those shows and you have the former players that say, oh, yeah, they definitely should sit out. You got to think about me first.
It's not a me sport.
It's football. The ultimate team guy, Jordan Howard, the Bears running back. We continue. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on. Brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Need a ride to or from Bears home games? Download the Uber app and get a safe, reliable ride within minutes. Head to uber.com/app and enter code BEARSFAN to get $15 off your first Uber ride. Man, we've been spraying all fields, a lot of different topics of conversation here on the show. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. Jordan Howard is our guest here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber from the PNC studio at Halas Hall. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I saw an article, I think it was out of Detroit, that said there's a new Jordan in Chicago. And not Michael, but Jordan Howard. And it was because of the production that Jordan has given the Bears nearly every game that he's played since becoming a starter. And the thing that stands out to me, and I don't know if you know this, Tom, but the number 23, which is royalty in Chicago, when Jordan Howard has 23 or more carries, the Bears are 3-0. When they don't give him the ball 23 times, they haven't won a game.
Production of the running game, what it means to the play-action passing game, the downfield opportunities that are presented by themselves. But one thing about Jordan Howard, as I mentioned earlier, if you're not a running back that can block, 23 carries is good, but it's about what you do during that downtime that makes the entire offense workable.
Is there a number where you physically get tired?
There's not really a number. Like the San Fran game, I knew I had a lot of carries, but I didn't know what number it was, but I was just welcoming the carries, so I really don't think about how many carries I get.
He'd never played in the snow, by the way, before that game against the 49ers.
You know, it's weird because, you know, no matter how long you play football, to have a snowstorm like that, it's, you know, what is the percentage chances? But I, like I said, it's like every little kid's dream. If you're, you know, if you grow up in the north and it's snowing outside, you're either hoping school's canceled or you can go outside and play. And
is it fun? Was it fun?
I wouldn't necessarily say it was fun, but I did have a good time out there. But one thing you have to worry about with those conditions, you have to worry about holding onto the ball and things like that and have the proper footing.
Did you feel okay this past Sunday when the extreme cold, but the conditions were dry and you know, a little bit less moisture than there was in the San Francisco game. Did you get fatigue, number one, and were you okay with the conditions?
I might definitely prefer those conditions, even though it is a little harder to breathe in those conditions with how cold it is. But I definitely prefer those conditions because you don't have to worry about any moisture or anything like that.
You know, a couple weeks ago you played in Tampa, and then this week you play in the extreme cold. Are you a guy that you know your limitations in the extreme heat like in Tampa, or is it like, hey, man, it's a 60-minute game, I'm ready to roll and as much as you need me?
Yeah, I'm always ready to go whatever type of weather we're playing in, so I'm always down to play in any kind of weather.
When you were young growing up, were you a conditioner all year round, or – were you active during the football season, then you did other things, or were you doing other sports as soon as football was over?
I was pretty much out of football, but in high school, starting my sophomore year, my coach, he made me run track. I just did the 4x1, but he just made me run track to stay in shape.
Pretty smart move.
Yeah.
Jordan Howard's our guest here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Who had the most difficulty just staying warm? Because I know there are guys that complained, you know, the guys that wanted to put on those sleeves but had to go out there sleeveless because, you know, you got to be macho out there if you're going to play for the Chicago Bears. Now that it's over, who during practice was the guy griping about it the most?
I would say everybody was griping about it in practice because in practice you can't get up for practice like you can for a game, and you can't get the adrenaline pumping and things like that. So I would say pretty much everybody was complaining about the weather at practice, but in the game, I wouldn't really say anybody was complaining too much because you had your adrenaline pumping, so it wasn't as cold.
By the way, they kept the doors open. Even when you guys practiced indoors last week, they kept the doors wide open at the Walter Payton Center in order to keep it cold.
Yeah, it was definitely pretty cool in there.
Well, you know, the wearing the sleeves part, I never like to wear sleeves in the cold because I sweat so bad then to make the sleeves baggy, easy for defensive linemen to grab. Is it about ball security with you and not wearing the sleeves because you feel more secure with it touching your arm?
That's definitely one of the reasons because when you wear long sleeves, your sleeves, they can get slick from sweat and things like that, so it makes the ball slippery, but I just prefer not to wear sleeves most of the time.
What about, you know, the amount of passes that you've been able to catch your rookie year? Because that was one of the things coming out of college is you didn't have a great deal of involvement in the pass offense. How has that been for you? Is that just something that you've always just needed the chance to catch footballs, or is it something that you needed the reps at this level to become more comfortable following the flight of the football, understand the passing game, understanding how to run routes, run screens, and that type of stuff? How has that learning curve been for you?
In college, like my freshman year, I struggled a lot with catching passes, but my sophomore year and junior year, I wasn't really asked to do much because that's not what the offense asked. But in NFL, I definitely feel like I just needed more chances to become more comfortable with doing it.
When you look back at this year, and granted there are two more games to go, but I see, and knowing you the way I know you, do you look back at some of those missed opportunities and heading into the offseason, is that an area of your game that you feel if you improve in that specific part, you can ascend to that next level as a running back?
Yeah, I definitely feel like that's one of the things I need to focus on in the offseason, just making sure I look the ball all the way in before I try to run.
Is it simple as a concentration? I mean, is that really the only thing where if you just truly concentrate and focus in on that ball hitting your hands first before taking off?
Yeah, that's in practice, it's kind of easy. It's kind of easier to do it in practice, but in the game, when you have people coming at you, it's kind of difficult to just look the ball all the way in without taking off running because you're trying to get away from the defense.
So how do you practice it?
You just have to keep making sure every time you catch the ball that you look it all the way in before you take off.
You made a one-handed catch earlier in the season on the opponent's sideline. That was, I think, the most impressive catch you made this season. Maybe you don't remember it, but it's always one of the catches that stick in my mind because I just gave you an example of when you do focus what you're able to catch.
We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, so to me, this says a lot about the makeup and character of the Bears locker room. You guys are down 27-10 to the Green Bay Packers after three quarters. Coldest conditions that you probably ever played in your life. It's hard to get yourself to a point where you can believe, hey, we're coming back. But you guys did. How in the world did that happen? we'll discuss next. Jordan Howard's our guest. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's the official pregame show of the Chicago Bears. Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, this Saturday morning at 10:30 on Fox 32 Chicago. It's Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber here from the PNC studio at Halas Hall. And I'd like to commend Tom, by the way, because you guys, I didn't think that you and Jeff would be on this show last week outdoors.
Yes.
I thought you guys would find a heater somewhere, but you did it. You stood there for 30 minutes pregame, and you endured the conditions to go live.
Well, you'll be more impressed that we're going to do Bears Game Night Live on Christmas night.
Get out of here.
So, yes, I mean, we're a one-stop shop.
It's football season all the time.
That's
for right. Tom Thayer. He doesn't take any breaks.
No days off.
By the way, but before we get to our guest, Jordan Howard, what was the best gift that you ever got as an offensive lineman from one of your quarterbacks or running backs?
Never. I never got a gift. I was always bad timing because right when I left, Harbaugh bought these guys watches, and then right before I got here, Walter Payton bought them all shotguns. So I didn't, that's the neat thing about it, and you hear a lot more about it today, but that's, you know, it was kind of not something you played for.
The reason I ask
the coolest gift I ever got was a three-speed Schwinn bike, high handlebars, banana seat, shifter in the middle when I was about 7 years old, eight years old.
So Dan Marino, when you played for the Dolphins at the tail end of your career, he didn't give you those. Didn't he have those isotoner gloves?
Yeah, no. He living in Miami. What do you need gloves for?
Well, he knows you're from Chicago. I'm sure you came back occasionally. You're a family guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, this year you've got three quarterbacks. I mean, these guys are going to get a lot of gifts this year. Because, I mean, all three quarterbacks participated in one win.
You don't have to give gifts.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, if you're some of these quarterbacks that are making $20 million a year, it's okay to buy somebody something.
Yeah, but all these guys are making money now. I mean, granted, there's Jay Cutler's making Jay Cutler
Jordan,
money.
Jordan, you don't have to buy anybody anything.
Did you think about it?
Yeah, first. I definitely think about it.
Because, I mean, those guys have helped you out. I mean, not just the starters, because, you know, when Kyle Long and Josh Sitton have gone down, boy, Cush and Larson have helped you out, Whitehair in the middle, and you got the two tackles. I mean, so
do you buy Cody and Charles Leno Jr. the best gift because they started every game, and then you don't buy something as nice for Kyle Long and Josh Sitton because they missed a couple, and then you buy a little bit something nicer for Bobby Massey, Ted Larson, and Eric Cush?
Well, I'm not the one who has to get him gifts. He does. Do you feel compelled, Jordan, to have to give them gifts?
I don't really feel compelled, but I'm definitely going to get them something. I haven't decided on what I'm going to get them, but I'm definitely getting them something.
See? You have to like that as a lineman,
right? You're a nice man, Jordan.
I mean, and tell me you're not going to block a little bit harder for a guy if the guy's giving you a little bit of acknowledgement.
I mean, acknowledgement is nicer than a gift because if you get the appreciation of what you were able to help the running back accomplish, that's what the game is about. I'm not sitting there trying to do my best so I get a better suit or a nicer hat or something like that. It's, you know, listen, I'm there for job security about my performance, not by making sure I'm trying to play better for a nicer gift.
All right, let's go back to last week against the Green Bay Packers. And Jordan Howard and the offense, you guys are down, 27-10 after three quarters. Nothing quite working the way you want it to. What changed in the fourth?
I feel like we kind of got in like a two-minute mode, and we knew that we didn't have much time to make things change, so we just focused in and started executing how we should have been the whole game.
Does anything change about Matt Barkley when you get in that speed-up tempo? Because everything that we've seen out of Matt Barkley is when you do get into that, not emergency, but it's kind of a sped-up tempo, does anything change about his demeanor?
I don't really feel like anything changes about his demeanor, but his play definitely picks up a lot when we get in two-minute mode.
And he's not afraid to sling it to anyone. If you're the open man, he's going to find you no matter what kind of defense is being played. That's got to be cool if you're any member of the offense because the ball's coming your way.
Well, you got to be ready for a check down if you're a running back. Even late in the game, I was surprised that a couple of the throws came to you when they had to pick up yards.
Mm-hmm. Man, how much did it crush you guys to not be able to score on that last offensive drive? Touchdown, not the field goal.
It definitely crushed us a lot, but we definitely had faith in our defense that they would get a stop and send the game into overtime.
Can you take me through the roller coaster of emotions? Because here you guys rally back, tied at 27. You're probably thinking in your mind, we're going to overtime, and then to lose that way. What was that locker room like?
It was just heartbreaking. It's like been the same story for every game, for almost every year. I'm out almost the whole year. We've been in almost every game, and then to lose the game at the end is just heartbreaking, and it's definitely building us a character for next year, and adversity that we're going through now will definitely help us next year.
That's what I want to talk about, is how all the bad stuff that's happened this year, if you truly believe that it's going to lead to good things in the future. That's Bears All Access with Jordan Howard from the PNC studio at Hallis Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access continues from the PNC studio at Hallis Hall. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, joined by Bears running back Jordan Howard. Do you feel that you, Cody Whitehair, Leonard Floyd, and I'm just naming a few, but this entire rookie class and all these first-year players with the Bears, do you guys feel that you're building something here, that ultimately when the Bears become good again, it'll be on your shoulders?
We definitely feel like we're building something. Just for us being rookies and having the success that we're having, the personal success that we're having, is definitely great. And then we're just becoming battle tested with all these close games and things like that. And so when the time comes next year, we'll know what to expect, and we won't be afraid of the moment.
You know, you kind of get a message delivered to you before the season starts about how you carry yourself throughout the regular season. And then you go through the season, and then you end it. Do you realize the responsibility that's on this rookie class to make sure they carry this momentum into next season?
Yeah, we definitely have a lot of responsibility, because a lot of us are in high positions. We're definitely playing a lot of us, and we have a major role. So we definitely have to continue improving and working on our technique.
That's something. Every time that one of your rookie class had an opportunity to contribute, you guys have always stepped up to the plate. I think that's kind of a neat sign of what the coaches have been able to do to make sure you're all prepared, but living up to your end of the obligation to make sure as players you guys are all ready for your opportunity. Well, you know, and that's the thing about it for you, is you got Jeremy Langford, who started out initially, and then he gets dinged up, and then Jordan Howard, you're given the opportunity. I think that's everybody. That's the way we get our opportunity, is someone in front of us gets dinged up. Did it take you a while to realize, hey, this is my opportunity, or did you say, man, this is what I've been waiting for my whole life?
I mean, it didn't really take me long to realize this was my opportunity, but I knew I had to make the most of my opportunity, because I was pretty much the only back that knew, like, the system that wasn't injured, so I knew I had to step up a lot.
How harder was it for you to learn the system? Because NFL offensive terminology is one of the most difficult things to learn in professional sports. Was it something that you took advantage of the technology that's afforded to you at this level, or do those types of things come easy to you?
I mean, it's something I had to pick up. I don't really feel like it was a struggle too much, but the technology we have with the playbooks on the iPad, it definitely helped out a lot, because coming from college, we didn't have – my last 2 years of college, we didn't use a playbook, so that was definitely something getting used to.
So when we fly home from an away game, it's like a business trip nowadays. You're right on your iPads. You're watching the game. Do you like being able to watch it when it's fresh in your memory? Or are you a guy that would like a little downtime and then kind of get into it when your next workday starts?
I usually like when it's fresh in my memory, because just thinking about things that I could have done differently, and I'm still remembering because it just happened. So I definitely like watching it right after.
Who's the first person that calls you after games or text message you, or who that, you know, communicates with you?
It's either my mom. Well, I usually see her after the games, but either my coach, my running back coach at Indiana, or my agent.
I want to hit something that's probably a little heavy, because anyone who remembers the Mike Cleats, Mike Cause campaign, you wore colorful sneakers that were blue because of pulmonary fibrosis. Mm-hmm. You lost your dad to that. Do you talk with your family about, if you could talk to him and he could talk to you, what do you think he would say based on what he's seen out of you this year?
No, I don't really talk to my family about that a lot, but I talk to my uncle, his younger brother, a lot. So he's kind of like him, so we definitely talk a lot, but we don't really talk about that.
What does it mean to you?
It just means a lot that I'm doing what me and him always talked about. We always talked about me making it to the NFL and just having success, and so it definitely means a lot to me.
Did he know it before you knew it?
Yeah, he definitely knew it before me. I remember on one of my birthdays, he told me no matter if I win, lose, or draw, I'll always be the GOAT to him.
When did you know it? When was the first time you signed your autograph saying, when I make it to the NFL, this is how I'm going to sign my autograph?
I just tried to figure out a signature to do, but I never really figured out what I wanted to do, but After when I just had to do a signature, that's when I figured out that's what I was going to do.
Well, whatever you're doing, keep doing it because it's been working. For Jordan Howard and Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Sabin saying so long. Thanks for listening to Bears All Access. Happy holidays, everyone.